Our reading today comes from Titus chapter 3. We'll read verses 4 through 7. The book of Titus, chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 4, and we will read down through verse 7. In Titus chapter 3, verse 4, Paul said, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." The Christians that Titus preached to were like many other Christians in the New Testament. They had lived a very sinful life before they were baptized. But God's grace is truly amazing. God is a merciful God, and He is able to forgive the many sins that man commits. But not all people are forgiven. And Paul shows that only those who obey God's way of salvation will be forgiven of their sins. And this is a plan that Paul talks about in this passage that we're looking at in this lesson. Paul says this is all due to God's kindness. In verse 4, he said, "But in contrast to the way that they had been living," in verse 3, "after that the kindness of God and the love of God appeared, then man is able to be saved." It's interesting that this word for love here, when the Bible says, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man," actually the words "love" and "toward man" go together. This is God's love toward man. Those words come from one word in the original, and it is exactly the word from which we get our English word philanthropy. Men sometimes take an interest in and help other people, and so they're called philanthropists in that way. But God is the one who is really interested in mankind. God is the one who is really concerned about man's eternal welfare and his spiritual condition, not just his physical state on this earth. And when we consider God's kindness and God's love toward man, do we appreciate this like we should? What if God were not the merciful God that He is? What if God were not as merciful as He is? Do we sometimes take this for granted? Of all people, Christians should think about it more than anybody else, especially Christians who have lived an ungodly life before they were baptized. Those Christians should appreciate it the most. This is the change that Paul talks about in verses 3 and 4. He talks about their former life, a very wicked and evil life, in verse 3, but he says that the grace of God, the love of God, and the kindness of God provided salvation for man. And then, beginning in verse 5, he tells us the facts and the details of how these people were saved, and as a result, how we are saved today. The first thing that he does in verse 5 is to tell us how this salvation does not happen. He says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." Notice that he says, "It is not by works of righteousness." How could they have been saved by works of righteousness? Look again at verse 3. He said, "Before they were baptized," in Titus chapter 3, verse 3, "for we ourselves also were sometimes," that is, at one time, before we were converted, "we were foolish, we were disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another." That's a far cry from being able to be saved by works of righteousness, because their lives were filled with all kinds of unrighteousness. This is oftentimes overlooked in this passage. Too many times, people begin in verse 4 or in verse 5, And they talk about how that we're not saved by works of righteousness. And they miss Paul's point, because Paul says in verse 3 that they had been very unrighteous. So he's contrasting their unrighteous works in verse 3 with the righteous works in verse 5. These people surely got the point when Paul wrote to Titus and Titus taught them that they were not saved by works of righteousness on their part. This same point is oftentimes overlooked in a famous passage, a section of Scripture that is oftentimes quoted, Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. To really appreciate and to really understand that passage, we need to go back and look at what Paul has said to these people at Ephesus in the context. Because in Ephesians 2, that very section where you find verses 8 and 9, you find beginning in verse 1 of Ephesians chapter 2, that Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past," that is, before you were converted, "you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," that is, our way of life, "in times past," that is, before we were baptized, "in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature," that is, by our chosen, some people would say our second nature, "the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy," and then he goes on and describes the grace of God and how that in verses 8 and 9, "it is by grace you're saved through faith." And that's the background, that's the context of Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. After Paul talks about how that these people, before they were baptized, lived a sinful life, they lived a very worldly life, he goes on to say, "it is by grace that you're saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works," because these people's works were sinful, and they certainly couldn't save these individuals. We see exactly the same kind of thing in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, where Paul says, "We conclude, therefore, that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." As you go back and look at the book of Romans, you find in chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 and going down through verse 32, that the Gentiles certainly were not saved by their works because they were very wicked. But in chapter 2, beginning in chapter 2, verse 1 and going all the way through chapter 3, verse 19, Paul turns to the Jews and he says, "You're no better than the Gentiles. The Gentiles didn't keep the law that they had, and you haven't kept the law that God gave you either. So you couldn't be justified by your works because you have broken the law of God." Now, this is also the setting of Titus chapter 3. It's the same kind of situation. And so what oftentimes happens is that people begin to quote a passage on grace and how that we're saved by grace without noticing this very important context. The question sometimes arises then, doesn't this mean that works are not a part of our salvation? And in answer to that question, we have to understand that the works of righteousness that he's talking about here and the works that he's talking about in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9 are works that are so perfect that you never make a mistake, that you never sin. And a man who has never sinned is a man who has earned his salvation. And of course, that man has never lived. Now, that's what Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, that's what Romans 3 and Romans 4 are about. And that's what Titus 3, verse 5 is about when he says, "It is not by works of righteousness which we have done." We cannot interpret this passage in such a way as to exclude obeying God and be true to the Bible. Because James 2, verse 24 says, "You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only." In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Somebody says, "Well, but the question is, are we saved by works or are we not saved by works?" Because this passage says it's not by works, Titus 3:5, but James 2:24 says that it is by works. Well, you've got two different meanings of works. You've got two different kinds of works. When the Bible says that you're not saved by works, that means that you're not saved by works only, that is by perfect works, where you have never made a mistake and never do make a mistake in keeping the law of God. Nobody ever does that, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But on the other hand, in James 2:24, the Bible says that works are necessary. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. The Bible denies that we are justified or saved by faith only in James 2:24. The works in James 2:24 are works of obeying God. And that doesn't mean that you're always going to do everything right. And that's where, of course, the grace of God comes in. But it does mean that we have to make this effort. It does mean that we have to be faithful to God. And remember, when people talk about works and faith, we need to remember that even faith is something that you do. So the whole idea of being saved by the grace of God depends on how we respond to the grace of God. Otherwise, everybody would be saved, or somebody might take the position of being a Calvinist and say that God just picks out certain people to be saved by His grace. But both of those positions are wrong. Both of those extremes are wrong. Man is saved by the grace of God when he responds to, when he accepts and submits and obeys God's word. Otherwise, that man will be lost. So when people ask the question, "Do you believe that a man is saved by the grace of God?" Obviously, the answer is yes. But the question that needs to be asked after that is, how is a man saved by the grace of God? Does he have to make a response? Does he have to do anything? And even the person that says, "Well, I think that you have to believe. I think that you have to have faith." That person is admitting that you have to do something in order to receive the grace of God. So what we're going to do in the next lesson is to look at verse 5, where he tells us how salvation does happen. Notice the contrast here in verse 5. He says, "It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us." So there's no question about verse 5 that he is talking about being saved. Well, if He didn't save us by works of righteousness, and He saved us by His mercy, the question is, when and how does He save us? And His answer is, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. And in the next lesson, we're going to talk about this washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.